again for having us just to share a little bit.
So in Indy, I drive a Royal Enfield motorcycle. And so it's quite interesting driving to work some days. But if I drove up next to you and I said, hop on the back, what would you ask me? Yeah, I heard where we're going. Some of you might ask, what's the probability I'll live driving in this traffic? But you would be asking, where are we going? Now, if I replied to you, I don't know, you may or you may not hop on. Okay? But if I tell you, oh, we're going to drive an hour outside of the city to this beautiful hike. We get to the top. There's mango trees there. We'll have those, and we'll come back. It'll be a fun day. Then you would hop on. And when we hit the horrible traffic, the big potholes, maybe even a flat tire, you would probably stay on because you knew where we were going. And so I bring that up just to kind of say that's a little bit of what we've been talking about today is purpose. Purpose to bear fruit. Or, you know, if we want to ask broadly, what is our purpose? What is the church's purpose? And, you know, we could go to the, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. But that's still pretty big. Okay, what does that mean? We go to the great commandment to love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. But then we don't do that so well, so that's why Jesus changed it. Love others as I've loved you. We could go to the Great Commission to make disciples. But what does that mean? So that's kind of the question that we've been wrestling through, and we haven't really learned what it looks like to bear fruit, to be sent. All at once, we're still learning. It's kind of been step by step. We have a lot of people ask us, how did you end up in India? You know, what does it look like to make disciples there? So let me just read one of the verses that we go through in our discipleship group to give us maybe another picture of this fruit, of this sentness, of making disciples, of this purpose, of where we're all going. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, so instead of like Moses veiling it, we can now unveil our face. We behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, or another way, metamorphosis, this change, into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So whose work is it? Like we just said with the fruit, it's the Spirit's work in us. Okay, what's our responsibility? Well, we're beholding His glory. We're seeing Christ more. And then what should happen? We're changed little by little. I don't know if you're like me. I'm not very patient. A lot of the sin in my life, I want to change now, at least overnight. But no, it's little by little. As I'm seeing Christ more, then He is helping me to change and then do what? Unveil my face and display Him. Little, so it's almost exponential. As not only I'm seeing Him, I'm displaying Him, you're displaying Him to me. So again, this is maybe another picture to add into this fruitfulness, to this making disciples, is seeing and displaying Christ more. And so, again, what does this look like in India? Or people even ask, how did you get to India? That's kind of a tough place. Well, we had no clue this is where we would be. We were kind of minding our own business one day, and some friends said, hey, you guys want to come to the missions conference at Church of the Good Shepherd? I was like, not into that stuff. Missionaries are weird. But they talked to us some more, and we said, okay, all right, we'll try it. And so we found ourselves in one of the children's classroom, you know, sitting in those little kid chairs, and we were listening to some people who worked in Spain. And again, what we've been telling you guys was really what hit us afterwards. We said, well, the way they're doing ministry or the way they're loving their neighbors, there's nothing special to that. And then it kind of hit us, there's nothing special to that. Why are we so selfish? And we still are very selfish, but looking back on ourselves then, gosh, we lived for ourselves. We were not displaying Christ very well. Probably because we weren't seeing him very well. But that really was a mirror to us to start thinking, huh, how do we start loving our neighbors well here in Durham, North Carolina? So we took an inventory, what are our skills, our talents, our interests, our passions, and how do we steward those for the kingdom? And so I feel like a lot of that that happened in Durham is very similar in India. But that was kind of our first little step, is to see nothing magical happens if we change locations. If we can't love our neighbors here, we're not going to love our neighbors anywhere else. So that kind of started us really loving our neighbors in Durham. The next little step was we had some friends say, well, you're both nurses. Come with us to do a short-term medical trip in Peru. I'm like, oh, I've never thought about that before. Sure, let's try it. So we went, and this really opened our eyes to what God was doing globally. This started us thinking, how can we steward our vocation as nurses for his kingdom? And so just to fast forward a little bit, after prayer and lots of discussions and talk, that got us thinking about how do we steward nursing, how do we love the church in a place where there really isn't the church and where there is a big need for healthcare. How do we do that? And so the fast forward, the short answer is that kind of led us little by little to be living in India. And so what does that look like to do this in India? Even this has changed. But that's kind of the why us. That's Hamish, if you're wondering, our pug in the background. But why India? How did we end up there? Well, a year ago, I was in our presbytery. One of the pastors asked if he could come up front and share a prayer request. So he came up front, and he said, I need help. I need prayer. I'm experiencing persecution. And we thought, whoa, okay. Apparently, he had had a worship service. The police, you know, came in the back door, came up front, and told him, you have to stop worship. And they discussed it and said, well, we're not doing anything illegal in India. They asked him to stop because there were a lot of Hindus and Muslims having pretty violent conflicts there. And they said, we don't want conflict now to happen between Christians and Hindus, so you have to stop. Well, they continued worship. 2 weeks later, the RSS, which is the militant Hindu group there, came in, tore down the church building, beat everyone up, and when the pastor went to go to the police station to file a complaint, the police said, nope, we won't file this complaint because you didn't listen to us. We're actually going to file a complaint against you. So now here's a pastor who's bruised and battered, no church building, and now facing police charges. So more and more, this is the state in India, especially in the village. It's a little different in the city. But there's more and more boldness for persecution. And even for us, it's changing. We can't be in the village anymore. We'll bring this persecution. We have to be in the city. So we've moved from the village to the city. You know, this is just a quick stat. 2 years ago, the Joshua Project had India rated in persecution at 31.
Out of 50.
One being the worst. Just in 2 years, we've bumped down to 17. So a lot of that's because of politics, government. I won't get into that right now. But again, we've had to start thinking, how do we bring change in this kind of culture? It's pretty overwhelming.
So one of the books we'd read through is Keller's Center Church. And in there, and also in an interview, he says, if even 80% of the population of a country are believers, if they're not living in the cultural centers, they won't be able to have cultural influence. We need Christians in working culture-forging fields like academia, publishing, media, entertainment, the arts. If church leaders want to reach young adults, business leaders, cultural influencers, and the poor, then they have to be in cities because that's where so many of them are living. That's another one of the reasons we're hoping to live in the city so we can love our city and our neighbors there.
And I think the next slide just has just a little snapshot of nope, it doesn't. But cities in India, we have 1 million cities. We're in Bangalore, 9 million plus people. You know, a quarter of cities in India are in slums. And so again, what does it look like to plug into a city and try to influence culture, engage with culture, not isolate into a Christian ghetto, not become just like the culture and accommodate, but what does it look like to engage as the church? And so this is kind of the question we've been wrestling through. What does it look like now, even in this new context over the last 2 years, to steward our vocation and love on the church? And so one way that it's looked like is to, you can go to the next slide, is to say, what does it look like for nursing? We're not doing the medical camps in the village anymore. We're not doing the community development there. But what can we do instead of having 80 people come to a medical clinic at the church? They get good health care that day, maybe good medicine that's not counterfeit for the month. What happens when they get sick next month? So it really started me thinking, how do I impact the system? How do I still meet people that can go places where I can't? How do we create inroads into gospel community? So just this last year, we've launched a health training company. Let me just give you a story here to kind of, so you can get an idea of what the healthcare is like in India. It's pretty marginal. Not only is there a lot of incompetence, I'd say there's a lot of injustice. So a buddy of mine, pretty educated guy, calls me up one evening just shattered. He said, my mom had an ultrasound for some bleeding issues. They say now that she's got stage 4 uterine cancer. It's metastasized everywhere. Her prognosis isn't good. We've got to go to surgery tomorrow and then start chemo the next day. And so, you know, my heart's breaking with him. I said, okay, did they do the biopsy? No. I said, okay, they don't know any of that. There's no way they know if it's cancer. There's no way they know if it's metastasized, any of that. They had already lined up and kind of started bullying them into the OR. So I said, they have to do the biopsy. It can happen in the doctor's office, just like that. So we went back, talked to them. They said, no, we need to do this in the operating room under general anesthesia. The cost will be $1,000. So we found a new doctor. After three doctors doing this similar rigmarole, he finally brought her to Bangalore. They did a biopsy for $10. It was benign. It hadn't metastasized. It wasn't any stage. And so what does it look like to engage this healthcare system? What does it look like to engage this system? And so we've started a health training company targeting nurses who are viewed more as like a janitor or a bus driver. They're not as professionals. What does it look like to help bring them up in nursing so they can advocate for these patients like me? So that they can maybe go out into the village where we can't go right now. So that we can bring them to into Bible study for healthcare professionals and eventually into gospel community. So this is kind of our idea that's morphing even now into how do we steward our vocation, which is exciting to see. But I'd say even more exciting, if we're meeting people in our vocation, well, what are we inviting them into? What's the gospel community we're inviting them into? And so I'll let Allison talk a little bit about New City Fellowship that started over the last couple years.
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, we helped launch New City Fellowship. It's a city center church, and we're part of Redeemer New York City to City Network. It's a group of churches in major urban centers throughout the world. So we are now meeting for regular worship about 2 years. We have 100 people regularly worshiping with us from all different parts of India. And then we have now 6 pastoral interns, so men who are interested either in church planting themselves or maybe further education or becoming missionaries. And then kind of the hallmark of our church is the gospel community. So we have 5 fellowship groups, we call them right now. It's really hard to get away from the shepherding metaphors from Good Shepherd. Fellowship groups. Yes. We have fellowship groups. And so they're meeting in different parts of the city and for Bible study, for prayer, and outreach together. But then from that, we've had smaller groups we're calling discipleship groups. It's 3 or 4 people who are meeting together. And while we share prayer requests in the larger fellowship group, discipleship group is where we're really getting into like the ugliness of real life, where we are sharing the things that are really difficult, the real messy things. And we start all together going through gospel-centered living, which is a short 9-week study. And then we do community Bible reading together. And then from there, whatever the group really feels is a need. So we talk about marriage issues or lust or parenting or work, and that's where we're able to really come about each other. It's certainly been the area of the biggest personal growth for the two of us in the last, not just last few years, but like in a long time, the biggest personal growth for us. But also to come alongside people who've never seen or heard the gospel before and to watch it like impact their everyday life, to watch it all of a sudden intersect in these areas that they didn't know how to move forward in. So probably our closest friends at church now are Jane and Savio, and they came right when the church was starting about a couple years ago. They had never been in a gospel preaching church, so they were certainly very attracted to the teaching, and they were also really struck by gospel-centered and authentic community where it was okay to vulnerably share your sins. People, India is a shame-based culture, so it's never okay to share weaknesses or vulnerabilities, so to see a place where it is safe to share what you're really struggling with and to grow together was very new. So they were really impacted by that and plugged in right away. And over the last year or so, they've been growing alongside us, and they started hosting our Bible study. Now they took over leading it. They both lead Welcome and set up teams at church, and they were in discipleship groups with us, and now they're starting their own generation of discipleship groups as other lay leaders in the church. So they're just, I mean, dear, dear friends, but also exciting to see people who the gospel has strongly intersected in their everyday life and made a huge impact. So, yeah, so New City Fellowship.
So this new City Fellowship. So again, I hope that you guys, as you're hearing this, you're saying, okay, there's nothing special to this. We're stewarding our vocation. We're building up the bride in a different context, in a context that desperately needs it, that can be difficult. The better our stewarding our vocation is, our job, the better our hobby can be. And so there's just at least a little sample of how that's been playing out in India. And so, this is truly how we view you guys. You're on the other end of the rope as we're heading over the edge. And so we're very thankful for your prayers, for your generosity. Maybe we can even get you over on some academic trips or business trips to work with our companies. But we're very thankful for y'all partnering with us and being a part of this as we learn what it looks like to see Jesus more and then to display him more, to have that fruit. And so thank you very much.
Well, we'll have more time with the Worshams at lunch, but they're a great example of being called to Jesus and then sent forth. We all have different places where we're being sent, but let's close with our last song of worship, just because God is worthy of worship. No matter where we are, we're being drawn, gathered together to worship him. So let's stand and let's worship the Lord.